is Hazel Khan, and today I'm bringing you tidings about the taboos our culture imposes on talking about money, and how we are taught the rules by our parents, which we then pass on to our children. I was especially interested in the rules that tell us when and what and of whom we may and may not ask the question, how much? How much did you pay? How much did you earn? I was driving with a friend in her newly acquired used car. She was proud of the low mileage, and so I asked her, "This is a really nice car. How much did you pay for it?" She missed a beat or two, and I understood I shouldn't have asked. Then, in a slightly altered voice, she told me what she'd paid. A week later, I was talking to a 15-year-old boy who was moodily strumming his guitar as we spoke. It was just before Christmas, and we were talking about saving money. I asked him how he would feel if I asked him how much he had saved. "I'd have to tell you, because you're a grown-up," he said, "but I'd rather not." "Why would he rather not?" I asked. "I'd feel uncomfortable," he said, "because it's so little." I thought. By being crass, I'd somehow stumbled onto something. What was this secrecy all about? It's about asking how much, asking for specific numbers. So when is it permissible to mention actual numbers, to ask or tell how much, and when would I be in danger of social rejection for coarse and uncouth behavior? Searching for the answers, I interviewed 7 people, some rich and some not so much, at various stages of life, living in East, West, and Middle America, and also in Europe. You'll hear their voices as they tell me without hesitation what the rules are and why. Mostly, I learned that no matter who you are and where you come from, it's almost never acceptable to ask the question, how much? I asked people about the rules in their homes when they were growing up. Did their parents talk about money to them or their siblings? Never, ever, people told me.
Did you talk about money, about how much things cost? Did you know, for instance, what your father earned? Things like that?
No. There was absolutely no discussion of money, period. I mean, I had no idea how much my father earned. And I didn't really know that until after my father died, when I could go back and look. But we never had a clue. He was very secretive about it. I'm not sure why. But I think one of the reasons was because he grew up in that very small town. And, you know, everyone was always very secretive in those towns. Like, one of my aunts even banks like 100 miles away so that nobody has any clue of how much money she has. It's a very small town thing. You don't tell anyone what you earn, and, you don't even know.
No, I grew up in a very WASPy environment, and you didn't talk about anything. My goodness. Or I'm starting out in my career. By the way, how much money does Dad make? You know, that I would never say that. I think that would be offensive to my mother, for sure, and might be embarrassing for my father. And why would I want to do that? I think they would think I was being impertinent.
You never brag about having money. You don't talk about how much money you have. You don't ask other people how much money they have. You never ask someone how much they paid for this or that, whether it's a house, a car, an article of clothing. So money was pretty hush-hush.
Well, it's funny because I knew my parents were divorced, and they were divorced in the early 70s. So my mother, I knew exactly how much alimony and child support she was getting. My dad, when he retired from the police department, I knew what his pension was and things like that. I knew what his maintenance on his apartment was. Well, you know, I grew up in a very sort of working class Irish, Italian, Catholic neighborhood. So everybody was sort of broke and poor and nobody had like a lot, but it was sort of in the atmosphere. You wouldn't think to ask. I remember that I gave a friend of mine, one of my best friends when I was growing up, a Band-Aid, a tin Band-Aid box of change. And I remember her dad, who was actually laid off, he was an iron worker, and I remember him trotting her down the block and giving us the can of money back, you know, which couldn't have been more than maybe a couple of dollars at best.
And what was lying behind that?
I just think he felt offended that I gave his daughter this money. I think he was offended by it. You just kind of grew up not talking about, you know, I had relatives that were sort of better off than we were. And, you know, I don't think we ever talked about money too much. And I remember the discussion coming up about money when my, you know, my grandmother had to go into a nursing home. I sort of remember, you know, discussions. I don't remember numbers or anything, but I remember discussions happening between, like, my aunts and uncles about money and, like, how it was going to be paid for and who was going to contribute what.
Amongst the people that I know and have sort of come from, you don't ask the price. You barely ask it in a shop. It's still considered coarse to bargain for anything, to question the price, or to ever look at your change. If you buy something and you give £5 and the shopkeeper gives you something back, you do not count the change.
I never knew, even into adulthood, how much my father made, because that was something that wasn't discussed. My parents are Dutch. They're very private about that sort of thing. Two daughters, neither one will tell me how much they make. I can sort of guess, and in one case I have a pretty good guess of how much she makes because I help her with her taxes, helped her with her taxes up until 2 years ago, and then she decided she needed a professional. I think it was as much for privacy as it was that she needed.
What was she trying to hide from you?
Maybe her success.
I talk very frankly with my children. You know, I want them to know what things cost, because I think it prepares them for life, because if you don't know what things cost, you're sort of, it's like a rude awakening.
There are times you can ask how much without penalty. When can one expect to ask and be answered, and when should one expect a rebuff? If it's about something objective, like, say, a parking fine or property taxes, it's not considered personal or intrusive, and therefore falls within legitimate asking and telling boundaries. Mostly, though, it's the intention that counts. If I ask how much something costs because I may want to buy it myself, the question is deemed relevant and I'll probably receive a civil, informative answer. But if I'm asking out of nosiness, I shouldn't be surprised if I'm told to mind my own business. If you have a really strong urge to know, you can probably find the answer in the public domain. And then there's a rare individual who is not affronted by being asked how much he earns, and who will answer honestly. So, I asked, how do you answer when somebody asks how much money you make?
Depends who I'm talking to. If I'm among my friends, you know, and we've had a drink, I mean, I might tell them, I might even exaggerate. Clearly, if I'm talking to somebody to do with the tax authorities, that's a different question. Or somebody who's, you know, who I think is hoping to get money out of me, that's a different question altogether.
You wouldn't be offended by it, by the question?
No, absolutely not. I might think a little bit, think, why are they asking me this, you know, be a little bit cagey about it, and I'm thinking, and who am I with, what, you know, is this just sort of boys' chat?
I don't have any qualms about asking someone what they paid for something if I have a genuine interest, if I'm just curious. I think people perceive that too. I mean, if you just say, gee, I'd like to get that, what did you pay for that thing? Then I think that's a very natural question. If you're just inquisitive or, you know, trying to just get information, I think people are very perceptive about that.
If, say, you bought a new car and somebody came and said, oh, that's a really nice car, how much do these cars cost these days, or how much did you pay for your car? Would you consider that a coarse question?
Not so much as income, because a car is a specific and external item rather than a sort of an intrinsic aspect of how much, quote, you're worth. A car is something external, and actually you could go to Glasses Guide or whatever and get the price yourself. You know, it's not the same as asking somebody about their income or what they are worth. And the word worth really means how much they're worth in terms of how much money have they got, and also sort of implicit in that is how much value do they have? How successful have they been? How much power do they have? How much can they effect change and things happening?
People are very much more willing to talk about, say, if your car was towed in New York, and you had to pay a $200 fine to the police. You'd crab about that and say, you know, I had to pay $200. Where is it permissible to speak the numbers, if you know what I'm saying? And sometimes it's just not permissible. And some situation, or if somebody owes you money, you might say, this guy owes me $100.
Yes, I think if you're talking about something like a car parking fine, why people might be prepared to talk about that is because, first of all, the sum of money is known. Secondly, it's been extorted. It's not something that you're spending on yourself rather than other people. It is being taken from you. And therefore, you're a passive agent in the whole affair and guiltless.
A victim, if anything.
A victim, exactly. Mm. And therefore, you know, it's not your responsibility, the amount of money. Neither is it anything to do with redistribution or charity. And neither is it you spending money on yourself, indulging yourself.
If it's something informative like that, that would be fine. Like if we were in a conversation about going on a vacation and someone said, oh, I went there last year and, you know, this is a good place to stay because you get a rental car with it or something like that. Oh, sure. Like practical things like that. But it would be more things that were intrusive that would have someone basically be opening their bank account to you, that would be no.
But I do have curiosity. I am very interested in what people earn because we live on Eastern Long Island and it's a very affluent community. And so by what I think are my standards, my family earns a decent wage, but we struggle. I mean, we struggle to always pay our bills. We sometimes have to bail out our kids. You know, some kids are not insured, have no health insurance. So, you know, we struggle. So I often ask that question, like, what are people earning? Because it's like, how come, you know, I'm not an extravagant person. My family isn't extravagant. We are pretty frugal when it comes to clothing and travel and things like that. So that's curious to me, what people earn or what they earn or what they spend their money on. You know, that's the other thing. What are you spending? You know, if you earn this, where are your dollars going? I guess that would be another question.
I don't like talking about how much I have because I've lost so much of it. I suspect that if you take the values of my stocks, you know, insider stock and things like that, and bad deals and everything, I've probably blown through $15 million in my adulthood. But I don't miss it, and I don't talk about it much. I complain about it occasionally. It was easy come, easy go. I mean, once you know you can eat macaroni every night, it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. I mean, you know, right now I'm living on $2,000 a month, $2,041 a month total. That's my Social Security and my pension. I'm proud of getting by on it because I've become very frugal. You know, I mean, last year I was doing better because I had my part-time/full-time job that paid substantially, you know, in the 60s and so on.
Well, it's sort of a game. I mean, I could sort of, you know, put two and two together and figure out what I do that to everyone. I mean, I do that to everybody. And then, so, you know, I can sort of tell, like, you know, who has a lot and who has it and who doesn't. I mean, you can just sort of figure it out. So, I mean, I think that's one of the things that's very interesting is that there's pieces of information that are available if you just listen. I think it's interesting because in some ways it gives you a window. It tells you something. It seems a bit like you're not supposed to know it. So, of course, it's interesting that way. I mean, you know, information that isn't widely available. And so, you know, the ability to sort of string together information or cobble together information is actually, it's almost like you shouldn't be doing it till you do it.
This is Tidings from Hazel Khan on WPKN 89.5 FM in Bridgeport. We're listening to voices from many places talking about money taboos in our culture. If it weren't human nature to want to know how we compare with others, Publishers like Forbes and People magazine wouldn't have an eager audience waiting for their annual lists of the top 400 or 100 or whatever richest people in the world. However, this curiosity is relative. We only want to know about people whom we perceive to be worth more than ourselves. Those we see as worth less are also worth less of our attention, not just on lists, but in everyday life.
I mean, I think one of the things that's very interesting is that the person who has the least is probably most interested in who has more than them. I mean, I think you see that, and that's not true just in families. I think that's true in general. You know, if you are around the working class is always very interested in what constitutes a lot of money among people one or two steps above them, you know.
So let's go a step deeper. What do you think it's about?
Well, I think it's about, you know, if you passed an exit on the freeway, you're no longer interested in that exit because you can't get to it, right? And so I think if people have surpassed a certain amount of income, it no longer interests them about what's happening at that level. They're on to the next level. And, you know, and I think it's a very American thing to be aspirational. And so you're not going to wander around saying, well, if you make a lot less than me, I wonder how much that is. But you are going to say, too, they have a much nicer car and a much nicer house than me. I wonder what they make, you know, because you're aspiring towards that. You're not aspiring to, like, for downward mobility.
People who put an enormous amount of energy into money and wanting money and many times really coveted money growing up, they really want to know. They really want to know how much money people have and how rich someone is.
What is the real question that they have?
I think that it awes them. I think they're in awe. I think if they can look at someone and know that they have $50 million, there is this worship that goes on. And, if I only had that. And I think they give a certain importance to someone that, well, they must be really smart or special or clever to have made so much money. I think the bottom line is it's envy. In many instances where people are asking these what I would call inappropriate questions, mm-hmm. it's because they've gleaned just enough to know that the number is higher than they can afford, and that therefore they want to know how much higher. How much more does that person have that I don't have?
You, from your experience, and it's usually people who have less money than you do who are asking these questions, whereas if somebody had more money than you, then they wouldn't be asking those questions.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Or they have less money than someone I'm connected to. Mm. So they definitely want to know. They just seem to want to know how much money everyone that they've met has. Mm. And it seems they have no interest in knowing that if they perceive the person to be poorer than they are or about the same level. Mm-hmm. I think that there's just this lust for lifestyle that it's all connected, that wanting to know a number is a piece of wanting to know what they do with their money, where they go on vacations.
Yeah, I've got a respectable amount of money now, but if somebody came with millions upon millions, I wouldn't feel ashamed to be with them because I think I've got enough for my own purposes. When I was younger and much poorer, I did sometimes feel ashamed of not the money, but of the level at which we were reduced to living. So from that point of view, there was an element of measuring up oneself alongside another person who had more money and finding that you didn't quite cut the mustard. That was a feeling of vulnerability. Of, yes, sort of shame, but it's a particular type of shame, which is this in the pecking order, I'm low, I am going to get pecked. And pecked would mean ignored, not included, undervalued, and underestimated on those things where money was not a key component. A sort of global putting down.
But again, I asked, what is the secret really truly all about? What do people get out of keeping the secret? Why do we think the rules are so important, and why do we honor the taboos so strictly? The answer seems to be because the secret protects us all. Not asking or telling how much protects us on three levels. First, it allows us to control a certain mystery about who we really are. Second, it keeps our relationships intact, allowing the illusion of equality. And third, not revealing how much we earn or own or spend keeps the wheels of society oiled by staving off the chaos that the truth might bring, not least for employers who are well served when employees don't tell each other how much they get paid. Do you know what I'm saying? What is everybody protecting?
I think from a British perspective and from the perspective over the last century of being sort of socialist democratic, the implication being that one of the political objectives of life is to equalize income and wealth, to redistribute wealth amongst the population. Now, whether you agree with that or not, the basic idea has infiltrated people's thinking. So almost it's bad to have more money or less money than the person you're talking to, because you should have redistributed that income somehow or another.
So if you have too much, you're exposing yourself as being
not generous, not giving money, not either not paying your tax or maybe not paying a tithe in terms of charity, or just simply having the capitalist sin of having acquired too much money, again implied, at somebody else's expense.
It's just that feeling of being judged, like sort of being looked down upon. And I guess that's really what it is. If you reveal and they reveal, say I say, okay, my income is whatever it is and yours is 10 times that, money buys power, let's face it. And if somebody has much more money than you do, they probably have more power and influence than you do. And maybe it's better not to know that. I'm not sure. I have to think about it more. But yeah, I think it takes away the sort of the mystery. And so, you know, when I meet somebody, I do that in certain circles where I meet people that have much more money than I do. And it's once you take that veil of when it's specific, it sort of says that, you know, you're really different from me. So if you talk about money, I just think it sort of magnifies those differences, makes them more clear.
You know, I think the bottom line is about it all was just to not bring money into relationships so that there was never envy. There were never relationships that were based on money, someone owing someone something else. I think it was kind of from a purity standpoint, so that relationships with people were just based on friendship and enjoyment and not on money.
You know, if you were to say either revealing a price voluntarily or asking someone about a price of something very expensive, what kind of feelings could emerge from that? It could be things like insecurity or jealousy or bragging or inferiority or superiority. You know, people, because everyone needs to have a relationship with another person. And so you have to find the comfort points for that. And if you are bragging about stuff that you bought, expensive stuff, the person who can't keep pace with that might feel inferior. But for a lot of people, if they can't have a house quite as nice or a car not quite as nice, they feel inferior to that person. And no one wants to be in a relationship where they're inferior.
Of course, if you went around with a kind of badge on you saying exactly how much you were earning, you know, it wouldn't, there'd be nothing, you wouldn't be able to pretend anymore, would you? You know, you wouldn't be able to pretend that you're richer than you are or poorer than you are.
What is the fear? What is it that they're hiding? Why are they reluctant, do you think?
Because they may be asked for a loan. I suspect that they're going to be asked for loans in times of distress, or people will be critical of the fact that they're living below their means, although they may be, you know, living within their earning means. I think people expect them to spend their savings. I really think that's the culture here.
Say more about that.
Well, if you let's say that I had $1 million in the bank, or if I won the lottery or something, and I put it away and just lived on the interest, I think that people would think that's a shame, because you have to spread the wealth, even if it's spending it foolishly, going to Vegas or getting a new car.
You cannot be judged if people don't have information to judge you by. The money that you have, or the money that you own, or whatever, it's a bit like your soul. I mean, you know, only you should know the details, or you and your spouse should know those details, or partner, or whatever. In some ways, you know, you don't want to look too deeply into it. But it's really very interesting, because after a person dies, then all of a sudden the information is totally available. It's among family members or whatever.
Money's a form of measurement. And if you look at a capitalistic society, it's a measurement of your success as a human. I mean, that's the value that we place on someone. If someone says they earn $800,000 a year, they're obviously successful and educated and worthy, let's say. And if someone says they earn $23,000 a year, somehow they have less value. That's just how a Western culture puts value on humans. If you accept capitalism as the culture of America, that's the standard of measurement.
No wonder everybody wants to ask the how much question, and no wonder nobody wants to answer it. We fear being judged and exposing our entire selves for evaluation. How much you earn, how much you spend, and your net worth are really code for how much you are worth, how valuable you are. Curiously, we seem far less concerned about oversharing our medical lives, which to me at least seem far more intimate. The taboos we've grown up with are likely to stay in place for the foreseeable future. We like the rules. We like keeping money under wraps so that we can manage the face we present to the world. The taboos serve us well, so don't expect a cultural revolution anytime soon. The voices you heard belong to Dave, Gordon, Gwyn, Mary, Matt, Susan, and Tim. Thanks very much indeed to you all for really getting into this subject and for sharing your thoughts with us. Tidings from Hazel Khan is heard at 6:30 p.m. on the second Wednesday of each month on WPKN Radio, streaming on WPKN.org, and archived at tidingsfromhazel.org. Tidings is produced by Tony Ernst.